Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God was angry with Israel after Aaron made a golden calf. Were it not for Moses' intercession, God might have destroyed the entire nation, except for Moses, while they were in the wilderness. This shows that we should never underestimate the power of intercessory prayer or one simple act of righteousness that you might do for the glory of God. Please open your Bible to Psalm 106, verse 23, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his study of this chapter.
Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. The reason why they committed this horror of idolatry and calf worship was why? Because they forgot God, their Savior. They set aside all that he had done. You know, there are people who actually believe, well, if God would do a miracle for me, I would never turn away from him. The nation of Israel saw many, many, many miracles. And look at the record that we have here. God said that he would destroy the Israelites. And he would have done so had not Moses stood in the gap. Look at Exodus 32, 9 through 14. Now the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone. That's interesting, isn't it? God telling Moses, the Creator is saying to this man, let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Now, if Moses was on an ego trip right about now, first of all, the population of the Israelites, it's estimated was around 3 million. The population of the city of Philadelphia is 1.5 million. So imagine a population twice that size. Now, about this point in time, now I'm just going to be completely honest with you. If I was the pastor of that group, and God says, I'm going to wipe them out and start afresh, you know, that sounds like a pretty good idea. What do you think, Ben? No. Because listen to what Moses says. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember, the covenant. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou sworest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented. He says, God, this is interesting. God, you remember what you said here. This is going to look bad for you. But here's the thing. The power of one man or one woman standing in the gap for the people of God. Never underestimate the power or the impact or the effectual, fervent prayer of God's people. Exodus 22:30, God says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know what? We need to be interceding for our land. We need to really be, not that we're not, we need to seriously be interceding for our land. The biblical principle in the Old Testament, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, God, keep in mind, when you're reading the scriptures, God measures time morally. Now, that should put a chill up your back, right? And so I don't know how much more God can take when he looks at not only this nation, but this planet. But Lord, if it's in your heart, if it's in your plan, if it's in your purposes for one last revival before you come. But where does repentance begin? Right here. Right here. The problem is not out there. It's us. Verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. How many times is that what causes us problems? Not waiting on God, not believing his word, not waiting for his counsel, but they murmured in their tents and hearken not to the voice of the Lord. Now, I find this interesting. Human nature, we are something else. They murmured in their tents. What? God couldn't hear them if they're in the tents? I'm not going to do it outside the tents. I'm going to get in my tent. You know, it's like people that do crazy things. Well, if I go in the garage, it's dark. Or if I go, what are you talking about? If this fictitious character, Clark Kent, a.k.a. Superman, can see you, God sees you. And God hears. They murmured. And we covered this a few weeks ago, remember? You probably ought to just tell me that you remember. About murmuring and complaining. It really, really annoys God. It really, really does. And so therefore, they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Therefore, he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. And so now that section tells us of what happened when the 12 spies returned from their mission to scout out the land that God had promised. Remember, they came back. And so Moses said, what was it? Oh, it was great. Great. Remember, they carried branch of, was it olives or something? Grapes. And so, oh, it was great. It was luscious. But we got one problem there, Mo. You should see the giants. We are like grasshoppers to them. And remember, 10 gave a bad report, which led Israel to give in to fear. It's amazing how quickly fear spreads. Let me give a little bit of off-the-topic advice to you. I have seen over the years, and especially this past year, the pandemic, I have seen so many people freaking out because all they do is feed on fear. That comes from the media. Now, don't hide your head in the sand. There's things that we need to know about, but I would challenge you, turn that off and tune in. Your peace level will increase. Your anxiety level will decrease. God's got this whole thing under control. And so because of the 10 spies, they despised the pleasant land. Now, only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Now, when you read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, where it talks about entering into his rest, it wasn't the giants that kept the people of God out of the promised land. It wasn't the giants that kept them away from that place of rest in the Lord. You know what it was? It was unbelief. Unbelief, beloved, is a monster. It's like a spiritual termite. There was even accounts in the Gospels where Jesus went into a certain area and it says he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Well, let's move on. And so they joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. That sounds good. Eating roadkill, right? And they provoked him to anger with their inventions. The word inventions actually means their behavior. And the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. And so the plague was stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. And so now we read about the time in Numbers chapter 25, when the Israelites yoked themselves to Baal Peor. That's the account of, remember, Balak. He was the king of Moab. And remember that he paid Balaam to curse Israel before God. You know, the whole account of Balaam and the talking donkey that just drives the Bible critics right up a wall. And remember, he hired Balaam to curse Israel. Now, God had just said, they're stiff-necked. Remember he just said this? They don't listen to anything that I say. Now, that's everyone else's children or grandchildren, not ours. All right? And Balaam goes back. He sends messengers back to Balak and says, hey, I talked to the Lord, and here it is. I can't curse them. I cannot curse whom God will not curse. But Balaam said this. He said, I can't curse them, but I got an idea. I got an idea. You see those Israeli boys? They look like they haven't had a good time in a long time. So here's what you do. You get some of those cutie girls from Baal Peor. Get them to dress a little, you know, dance a little. And when they see the Israeli boys, go, boys, come over here and let's play coochie coochie. There's a punchline there. But there's this man, Phineas, who intervenes. You see, in idolatry, in idol worship, it was often connected with immorality. And so there was this orgy going on under the guise of religion, because the men of God, who knew better, forsook the living God. They compromised. Now, Phinehas, it says in Numbers 25, verses 7 through 9, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through their belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. Point. One man standing in the gap for what is holy and righteous in the eyes of God. Never underestimate the value and power and influence of one simple act of righteousness that you do for the glory of God. But this hit me this afternoon, just before leaving the office. One more thought here about the plague that killed 24,000. Balaam could not get God to curse Israel, but he could suggest to Balak that if he could send a few seductively dressed young women to the place where the people of God were and have them wink at the men and invite them to come over and worship with them, they would most certainly self-destruct. Here was the punchline. What no army could have destroyed, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and compromise did. You see, the devil can't get God to curse you and me. But he can tempt us to do some stupid things that can have devastating consequences. Now, are we over? No. Verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. Because they provoked his spirit, or it could read, because they were rebellious against his, capital H, spirit, rash words came from Moses' mouth. So there we were. This is the account in Numbers chapter 20 at the waters of Meribah. Now, the people are complaining again. They're complaining again. Again. Didn't they learn? Aren't you glad that we're not like them? They accused Moses of bringing them out of Egypt. And Moses, remember, he had already smitten the rock once. This is the second time. And I won't get into all of the Christology typology here, which is beautiful. It says in Numbers chapter 20, verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, I don't know what Moses had for breakfast this morning, but he says, hear now, you rebels, much we fetched you water out of the rock. And here comes water. And they drink. And then God says, Moses, come here. Come here. Come here, Moses. See the promised land? Oh, yeah. Take a picture. You're not going in. You know why? you misrepresented me before the people. It's one thing for God to be angry with his children. He can do that. You're not my children. He misrepresented the Lord. Now we know that Moses made it into the promised land. We know it, right? Who was up on the top of the mount, Transfiguration? Moses? Aaron? Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. How did they know it was Moses and Elijah? Was their picture in the Israeli post office? Interesting. That just shows, when we get to heaven, people say, am I going to know my aunt? Am I going to know my uncle? We're not going to be dumber in heaven than we are on earth. Thank God for that. So, verses 34 through 46, really quickly. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And so once they were comfortably settled into the land, God said, destroy these individuals. Don't learn of their ways. But they didn't do that. So there was a lack of separation. Now, we are called to be light and salt in this world. We are not called to be separatists. We are not called to go live in some monastery. We are to be light and salt in this world. We are to be examples of Christ. But these guys were blending in. They were not only in the world, they were of the world. And notice it says, and they served their idols, which are a snare to them. Idols are a snare. The Puritans said, the human heart is an idol factory. It could be a car. It could be sports. It could be food. It could be exercise. It could be anything. It could be an idol. But notice, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. In 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, we read, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. Not only did they serve idols that ensnared them, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils. They shed innocent blood by offering their sons and daughters up to Moloch. In the book of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, we read, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Perhaps one of the most atrocious elements of the religion of Israel's neighbors in Canaan was the practice of human sacrifice. The people of Judah, we read in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 31, had even built a special high place where they could sacrifice their sons and their daughters. When I read this, I have to admit, my heart just was so grieved. I shudder to think tonight what God thinks of our nation and our barbaric and brutal shedding of innocent blood in the womb. And because of that alone, I am not surprised in the least at the moral condition of our nation in light of the millions of abortions that have taken place since Roe versus Wade. I personally believe that the most dangerous place for an American, I don't care the color of your skin, to be, is in a liberal mother's womb who has no regard for life. You read the scripture, and it is a slam dunk. God is pro-life, period. Now, here's the thing. For women that have had abortions and come to Christ, he forgives you, and he heals you. I'm talking about our nation generally. You know what has gone on. And again, is God long-suffering? Wow. not willing that any perish, but all come to repentance. All right, let's move on here. Notice in verse 39, thus were they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring, or played the harlot, or they prostituted themselves with their own behavior. Therefore was the wrath of God kindled against his people, inasmuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. In Deuteronomy 32, 17 through 19, says they sacrificed unto devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and has forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel, and were brought low or impoverished or weakened for their iniquity. Many times he delivered them. Remember in the Judges, God's wrath was always tempered with mercy. He used Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Samson, David. And right after they were delivered, they went right back to the vomit. Nevertheless, in verse 44, nevertheless, isn't it amazing? Aren't you? I'm glad for these two neverthelesses in this chapter. I am so glad. Nevertheless, and any parent or grandparent that has ever had a wayward son or daughter or prodigal knows exactly what God feels. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. When he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies, he made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Last two verses. So notice, he began with a prayer and he ends with a prayer. He began with praise, he ends with praise. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from the heathen. I did. I'll do it again. Save us from the heathen. Why? To give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. There's triumph when we praise God. You know that? When we praise God, especially when things are not going well, that gives the devil Excedrin headache 666 on steroids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you are long-suffering. Thank you for your miracles. That's why it's so important, guys, that every day we preach the gospel to ourselves. The gospel isn't just how we get into the kingdom. The gospel is what keeps us anchored, vertically focused, as we go through this jungle called life. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen? And let all the people say, let all the people say, and then he says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is June 15th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.